Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
And the gun is low. Stamps his foot. Takes the snap. Here comes the rush. He's rolling. He's tackled. Sacked by Smith. Nolan Smith got him all the way back at the 30.
I don't think Jordan Love is used to the type of speed that Nolan Smith brings to the game.
Well, a spectacular game by the Eagles defense, and I think more than anybody by Nolan Smith, who was all over the place yesterday, particularly early. I mean, totally changed the game, knocking out the one offensive lineman, had two sacks, one late, had a great run stuff early in the game, had a special teams play that was, I mean, he was great. All right, let's talk to Seth Joyner. Seth knows what it's like to be a great linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles, and Seth is brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water matters, so whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit bradfordwhite.com. Seth, good morning to you. How are you, bud?
What's happening, y'all?
It's all good, man. In the Elite Eight, if I could use an NCAA tournament reference.
Hey, man, that's all that matters, to get to the next round when you're in the playoffs.
You had to be proud of that D yesterday, man. What a frickin' performance by the Philadelphia Eagles defense, which, Seth, I think it is. I'm now to the point where I'm ready to say I feel confident it's the Eagles' best D since your group. 91, totally different level, no doubt. But all due respect to the Jim Johnson group, Trot, Doc, Hugh, all those guys, Bobby T, Troy, love them all. This defense is the best I've seen since yours. That was an A-plus yesterday, Seth.
Well, it was. And, I mean, you know, comparably, they're the first team since, you know, our 91 defense to actually go number one in total offense.
Yeah.
Not in total offense across the board, but total.
Exactly. Defense.
Total defense. Yards.
Yeah.
Impressive. And it's going to be real curious for me to watch how they continue to progress. I think N'Kobe Dean is a big loss for them.
What made him so uniquely good?
He's the green dot. And when you wear the green dot, that means you know exactly what the heck is going on everywhere. Mm. You know, and the way he played, the way they like to shift down mid-cadence for opposing quarterbacks into their five-man line with Zach Bond. They did some things yesterday that definitely had
They went under with him as the buck, like a Sam on the end of the line of scrimmage?
Well, I mean, they shift him up on the line of scrimmage. They, you know, sunk down the defensive end of that side. Mm-hmm. And then the defensive end still rushed outside, and they dropped him off in coverage a couple of times. Normally, when they get down that five-man front, he becomes part of the rush.
Yeah.
Well, they dropped him off and took away the quick slant on that side, and he became a flat player on that side.
Is that why the quarterback didn't see him? It was so unconventional for that guy to drop?
No, I think it was just a good change of pace, because they've shown that before, and I think Vic Fangio's intention early was to limit the run game by getting to the five-man front. Anytime you're in the five-man front and you run the ball, you're talking about man blocking across the board. And that's just a battle that, you know, that's in the Eagles' favor. You know, you ask why that was so important that, you know, we're going to be missing N'Kobe Dean, because when I look at him in the middle of the field, he understands most of the time he's a one-gap player to a fast flow. I'm not so sure, you know, that some of the other guys is doing the backing up and playing that really understands it. And even in the coverage piece of it, there was one time where Zach Bond was on the outside of a receiver and Oren Burke broke from the inside and he didn't maintain leverage. He winds up knocking Oren Burke off the ball. The receiver cuts back inside, picks up, you know, a long yardage first down. And just, you know, you don't see N'Kobe Dean do stuff like that.
But is that the type of thing that is just familiarity between Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean, where Oren Burks could get to where they're not running over each other, where they actually do understand where the zone drops for everyone?
And Burks played a little bit this year. Am I right that N'Kobe missed like a game or two?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay,
he had the
abdomen. That's good at least.
Yeah. But he's a far cry from the
When he was in Tampa, people got to remember, when he was in Tampa, you know, he played some significant time. I was hopeful when we brought him here that he'd be one of the guys, you know, that really competed.
Mm-hmm.
And then just out of nowhere, he disappeared during training camp.
Maybe because the other two guys were
N'Kobe
so great.
Dean just, I mean, maybe he took it.
Yeah, maybe Zach Vaughn and N'Kobe. I mean,
I wasn't the one who believed in the whole, when N'Kobe beat out, you know, Devin White. I'm like, come on, man. If that was the case, there would have been a time in the preseason where N'Kobe Dean would have been in the lineup as the number one. He didn't become the clearly defined number one until something happened before week one and Devin White didn't even make the trip. And then everybody started chirping, he beat him out. Well, why wasn't he beating him out? Why? Because every time that I went to training camp, we had a depth chart. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that depth chart clearly defined who the hell the starters were.
That matters. Depth chart matters a
absolutely.
Lot.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of pride.
Here's what I
was no ambiguity as to who the starter.
I'll tell you what I think. Seth, I'll tell you what I think happened. I think they were giving Devin White the benefit of the doubt for some extra weeks, but it finally became obvious enough of this. And then Devin White didn't want to play special teams.
We never saw him play.
But they saw him play in practice. I mean, they saw. All right, Seth, let's talk about the offense. What stood out to you yesterday? Eagles offense.
They won the game. They won the game, plain and simple. You know,
the defense won the game, though.
No, they won the game because you have to put points on the board. Guess what? If the offense doesn't put 22 points on the board and the Green Bay Packers put 10 points on the board, the way that the game goes, the Eagles lose and we don't have a game next week. See, Philadelphia, this is y'all's problem. You need to learn how to be a little more grateful for the blessings that you get. It could have easily been the other way around that we're crying and boo-hooing and talking about Nick Sirianni's job and everything else today. Rather than being grateful for the fact that we get another Sunday to play another playoff game, we want to bitch and complain about, the offense only. Stop it. Stop it already.
Well, it was really a Jalen issue.
No,
it's not an offensive line issue.
I don't care who it
but
is,
Seth,
because we saw enough bad quarterback play,
okay,
over the weekend that we can just – the quarterback threw two touchdown passes. I don't care that
he had 30 seconds to throw that pass.
And he
completed it.
And you act like other quarterbacks don't do it.
They don't have that much time normally.
You act like other quarterbacks don't have that kind of time and that they don't normally complete it. So
the other quarterbacks
you're not defending Jalen today, are you?
I'm defending the fact that we won the game.
Okay, but what did you make of Jalen?
Jalen did what he had to do. He does what he always does.
Yeah, but he wasn't.
Good. No, you guys.
Seth, that's like saying Izell Jenkins. Why you guys had a good defense?
You act like who this football team is supposed to magically change.
I agree.
This is who they've been all year long. Okay,
I agree.
When they need Jalen to make plays, like you want to know when the most critical play in the game was the critical down. Because yesterday, they're leading the game. The Packers pull within one, and you can kind of feel the momentum shifting in the game. Okay? The offense has sputtered and stumbled for a couple of series, and then all of a sudden, Jalen hits Devontae for 28 yards. Then Jalen checks at the line of scrimmage. Boom. Hits Dallas Goedert. He goes down the sideline. They answer. They go back up by two scores. See, that kind of stuff is more important to me than how many statistical yards a quarterback has. You know, sometimes these people, you know, John, and I feel your pain because I listen to the nonsense while I'm driving in here sometimes. And you're like the Lone Ranger, but don't worry about it.
Uh-oh.
Don't worry about it, Tonto.
I'm in trouble. Seltzer, buckle me up here. I'm in trouble.
Tonto is here to give you some support, okay? I'm only here for an hour, but I'm here to support you. All right?
Thanks.
I get the sense sometimes, you know, and I'm on social media, so I hear the clown stuff as well. And I see the clown stuff. I get the sense that everybody would rather have Jalen throw for 300 yards and we lose the game.
Not true.
And then you could sit Then you could sit back and complain about everything else rather than
That's not true. people would rather they win than lose, but
you
but
want
people,
statistics.
That's not true.
That is true.
That's not true. I want him to
everybody's point. Everybody's point is, oh, he's got to play better. Oh, he's got to play better. What did the coach say?
Well, hold on. First off, Seth. First off, coach is speaking. Coach talk. That's number one. I said at the start of the show, they may win a Super Bowl with him playing like this. Because the team is so great. But no one looks at your defense in the late 80s and early 90s and says you guys were great because of Izell Jenkins.
Listen.
No one says that.
If this offense, no matter what you say under Jalen's direction, no matter what
And I'm not saying he's as bad as Izell.
No matter what you say, okay? They score 28 points a game. If our offense back then would have gave us 28 points per game, we'd have been marching our asses down Broad Street and up to the art museum, okay?
Of course.
That's a fact. So stop complaining and just enjoy the ride, Joe.
It's
a Super Bowl team.
I'm enjoying it, but
everybody else, enjoy the ride. Shut it up. And then you know what you can do? You know what you can do when they lose? Now you can talk about what they didn't do, and you can bring all the negativity. Philadelphia is so negative because we can't appreciate a damn thing. Nothing.
Well,
we don't do it. That's the problem.
Some of what you said I agree with, some I don't. I'll tell you this. I think the biggest play of the game. Biggest play of the game was that the Eagles special team gave the Eagles the ball at the 20-yard line 6 seconds into the game. That was the biggest play in the game. The Eagles went from kicking the ball off to having the ball 6 seconds into the game at the 20-yard line. Biggest play of the game.
That's why you got three phases, Joe.
Well, I understand that.
That's why you got three phases. You act like this is something that like this is an anomaly. Well, listen, you want to know why you got three phases?
No, this is the regular that he's not that good.
This is why you have three phases. You got three phases because when the offense isn't getting it done or they're struggling, okay, the special teams and the defense carries the load until they can get it
right. They're a great team. Okay? We all agree with that.
Well, then what are you complaining about?
Well, first off, I don't know if complaining is the right term. I am pointing out that Jalen may be a preventative factor for them winning the Super Bowl.
No. You see,
no?
We continue to live
in this. He may not be?
We continue to live until he proves that to you. You have no basis or no grounds
for it. Well, we'll see.
Because you know what you do? You sit back. All we do is we consider the if, okay? We did the same damn thing with Saquon and if he does. Let's talk about facts, James.
Let's talk about facts. Give opinions and preview and think what's going to happen.
Seth, the team is 14-3.
Let me ask you a question.
They're going to win the Super Bowl. Angry than anybody else.
The team is 14-3. They just won their first playoff.
Let me ask you a question.
We're sitting up here talking about ifs.
Seth, when the Cowboys won in 95, did they win because of Barry Switzer? Or did they win because of Irvin, Emmett, Troy, offensive line, defense?
It's always about the players.
Well, that's part of it. But my point is, they won in spite of Barry Switzer.
No, they won because they had the players.
That's my point.
They had the better team.
Okay,
they didn't have the better quarterback.
I believe
Troy Aikman wasn't all that great.
He was tremendous.
No, he wasn't all that great.
He was tremendous.
Go look statistically.
I'm not talking about stats. He was a great player.
See,
I'm not talking about stats.
You're forming the narratives where you want to form them. Because you know what people do? People look at the stat line. Oh, 13 of whatever for 131 yards. And then they go blind because they don't see the damn touchdown.
Do you think Jalen?
They go blind because they don't go to the end of the line and see the 111 rating.
Do you think Jalen?
You understand what I'm saying, John?
Do you think Jalen?
I told you I'm here to rescue you today, my friend.
Do you think Jalen was good yesterday?
Jalen was good enough yesterday.
I know he was good enough. Do you think
he's good enough? That's all that mattered yesterday. That's all that mattered yesterday.
Well, that's like saying Mario Chalmers was good enough because he played with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. Okay, but then what?
Did they win a championship?
Yes.
Okay, then he was good enough.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he's good.
He was good enough.
I agree.
Okay?
We agree.
Every year is different.
And next week, I think he'll be better.
In 2017, they were good enough to win the Super Bowl. Okay? Mm-hmm. In 2000,
Seltzer put Adam Eaton into the Phillies Hall of Fame. Adam Eaton was good enough.
22.
He was good enough.
Guess what? They were good enough. They were almost good enough, short by 3 points to get there. Right now, they're good enough to play next week. And guess what?
Yeah.
That's all the damn matters.
Okay, let's get some phone calls in here. Let's see where the battle lines have been drawn. Funny thing is, we're all excited they won, but consternation's in the air. It's all right.
It doesn't seem, the problem is, it doesn't seem like everyone is excited.
No, I think people
This really is a massive deal right at the gates to win a playoff game by double digits against a pretty good team. I mean, they're not the world beater team with some of the injuries and stuff, but That Packers team that we beat by 5 to start the season, yep. we just beat them by 12. That is a comfortable playoff win against a good opponent.
I think that's the worst the Eagles will play. Like, I'm incredibly optimistic
the
moving forward.
The passing game.
Jalen's going to be better. He was rusty. Yeah. I expected him to be rusty. I'm surprised everyone's freaking out with how rusty he was when we expect him to be rusty. He hasn't looked that bad all year. He's a much better quarterback than what he was yesterday. But we can say that yesterday he didn't look great. That's okay. He's going to be much better moving forward.
Yeah, I think he's better than that. I wouldn't say he's much better. But anyway, everyone's got their opinion. Let's go to the phones. Seth Joyner with us in studio this entire hour. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, team. Good morning, Seth. How's everyone doing?
Doing well, Ed.
Good, buddy.
What's happening?
Nothing much. Seth, my wife said,
Don't be afraid, Ed.
Whichever
side of this you're coming down on, I promise you, if you disagree with Seth, he will not punch you. I promise you.
I don't punch anybody. I just spit the facts and the truth, and it is what it is, and it moves people how it moves them.
Sometimes I want to punch people.
All right, go ahead. I'm joking around. Go ahead.
I'll try not to channel my inner Chuck from Mount Airy with Seth like last week, but I see, you know, the big picture. Obviously, we won the game. We won the turnover differential. To John's point, we saw some funky looks on the defensive line. They were doing a lot of twists and stunts and just crazy games, messing with pre-snap reads and stuff. And the fact is, he didn't turn the ball over. So that's
It's a tremendous strength. It's a tremendous strength of his. He's phenomenal at that.
So I'll table sort of the long-term concerns because, you know, we do have a game next week. I am really, really concerned about N'Kobe Dean's, first of all, his condition. I hope he's okay. But just knowing, seeing, and the game really didn't mean that much, and I talked about it last week when he wasn't in there against the Cowboys and they made Rico Dowdle look like Emmitt Smith for like three-quarters of the game. I just hope that with increased first-team reps that Burks will kind of have a better showing next weekend. Do you think he's capable of that, Seth?
Good question, Ed. Good question, buddy. Appreciate it. What do you make of Burks when you see him?
I think it's in there. I don't know that from a coverage perspective that he could be what N'Kobe, you know, was to the defense. But there's no doubt about it from a run standpoint. You know, it's really, as a linebacker, understanding where you fit in all your fronts, understanding where they're trying to attack you formationally, and being able to get there. Like, you know, that screenplay that N'Kobe diagnosed yesterday and he actually beat the offensive lineman there. I mean, that kind of stuff comes from, you know, being on the field and playing, but it also comes from, you know, the level of study that you put in.
It makes them look faster. Like Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean played so fast this year. There was no thinking. It was automatic reaction, and that is great coaching, that's great understanding of the truth of what Seth's talking about. Seth, where everyone fits.
Let me ask you a question. So, you know, you and John, the two guys here that play, you two could answer this. We can only, you know, imagine how we'd feel. So if you're a guy like N'Kobe and you were within a couple weeks of being eligible for a new contract and maybe getting to get $20 million. Now maybe the Eagles wouldn't have given it to him, but you know, he certainly had a shot at $20 million in 2 months. What is that like? I mean, maybe you didn't experience it, but you've been around guys. Like Byron Evans was about to sign, got injured, never played again. N'Kobe will probably play again, but like, that's got to be crushing, man.
It is. It is, because you worked all of these years to build up to this. Like, I can remember, being in Arizona coming off the field and someone ran up to me and told me what happened with Byron. And I was almost in tears. I was heartbroken because I know that was his chance.
Yeah.
That was his opportunity, you know, to get his bag. He had labored and toiled all of these years as a really good inside linebacker. And the Eagles had offered him something. He was like, nah, let's, you know.
It was the next game.
And he turned it down in the next game.
Yep.
You know, he blows his knee out and he never, ever played another down of football. And all of that potential, generational wealth went right out the window with it. So I get it. I get it. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. The good news is N'Kobe's probably won't be that serious. We don't know, but chances are he'll be back out there some point next year.
Modern medicine, that was 30 years ago.
Totally.
Different, you know?
It is different, but the trip back, no matter how you cut it, the end of the year, when you have a season-ending injury that's going to take, who knows, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months?
Yeah.
That's not, he might not be ready for the start of next season if it's that kind of thing. Like, that trip back where you're staring at these fluorescent lights every single morning for the entire offseason. Like, you're getting there at whatever it is, 6:30 in the morning, and you're rehabbing all day.
Yeah.
You might take a break at lunch.
You got to do the work.
You got to then you got to do your work out and your film study and everything else that the guys are doing. But your first goal is just getting back to where you can play football again.
It's sad.
And
it's sad.
Exhausting.
I thought N'Kobe's look yesterday, because the play itself didn't look that bad, but he had this look on his face. It's almost like a nothingness.
It was like a blank stare.
Yeah. I thought it was three things. One, I'm hurt. Two,
I didn't know.
I'm not going to be able to continue on this journey with this team as an active player this year. Like, I'm out.
He's trying to process that.
And three, yeah, I thought all this went through his head in 20 seconds. And three, I probably just lost my chance at a big payday in the next 2 months.
I don't know about that.
I don't know, but I'm just saying that was my sense.
No, I think the main thing, Joe, is, you know, man, we're on the precipice of winning it all. And I got a chance to be a part of it.
I know.
And it's over. Like, when he got up and he slammed his helmet on the ground, I'm like,
he knew.
He's done.
He knew.
He's done.